Thank you, Jesus. Well, we have baptisms, and usually we kind of fly through those in the middle of worship, and then I try to preach a message that you can't preach a message following a whole bunch of folks just getting baptized into newness of life. And so I realized I want to say a few things about baptism before we do it this time, and I'll probably be about 10 or 15 minutes, so I'm not sure. Maybe can you kids be really, really good and just sit there, because if you stand up and all the old folks sat down, then they would feel like tired just looking at you guys. But let's just get seated for a minute in his presence, and it's not going to be a long message, but I do want to just highlight a few things about what it is we're about to do. And I know there's so much excitement in those who are getting baptized because they've looked into the reality of what it means and what it's going to mean for them. But I just think it's amazing that this was the mark that people would do. They would do this act knowing that if they were caught, they would be executed. The first people who were baptized in the early church when Jesus was doing it, or John the Baptist was doing it, they understood they were entering into a group of people who were hated by this world. They didn't do it for popularity. They didn't do it because mom and dad wanted them to. They didn't do it for any benefit socially. It meant that they were going to join the outcast of the time through this act of faith, that they did it because they believed God wanted them to do it. Okay? And you know what really matters in life? That you do what you do because God wants you to do it. That's the only thing, that's the only motivation that really matters. It's the only one that matters. But I want to say a few things about baptism. Baptism is about an old life ending and a new life beginning. It's not about a lesser life getting less and a better life coming forward. It's about an old life ending and a new life beginning. Pastor Andy did such a powerful job last Sunday morning at the 9 o'clock service where he talked from Romans chapter 6 about the reality of what it is to be a believer. It is not an improved life, it's a new life. A new life requires for an old life to die. You can have two lives lived at the same time. One dies and one comes to live. And we're going to read through some scriptures as quickly as I know how, because I want to make sure this is just re-solidified in the core foundation of who we are as a group of believers living in the year that we're living in and the craziness that's going on in this world. There's so much confusion. This is one thing we cannot be confused about. Our identity in Christ cannot be something that's confused in our own hearts, because if it is, our lives are going to be confusing and no one can follow a confused person. And we're called to be leaders, right? Our life is a new life. The reason it's a new life is because now he lives in us. Do you understand the reality of what salvation means? It means that the old us dies and Christ comes and lives his life on the inside of us. Galatians 2:20 says it more clear than I can. It says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in heaven. That's not what it says. I was just seeing if anybody was paying attention. He says, it's no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh here on planet Earth, I live it by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself in exchange for me. It means we're no longer alone. This life that we've been given is not a life that we dreamed up or a life that we concocted or planned for. It's a life that he gives to us as a free gift in the same way that he gives us heaven and eternal life when this life is over, through faith by promise. We live the life that we live now, not us, but Christ living in us. And I was thinking, how do you illustrate this? And I thought, I remember as a kid, I don't know if you ever went to the shore, but you go to those tanks near the little gift shops and there was always those little hermit crabs in there. You remember those things? They were like a whatever they were, but they smell really bad when they expire, unfortunately. I think many parents probably learned that the hard way if you got you talked into buying one of those for one of your kids. But if you know what a hermit crab is, it looks like a snail. And as a kid, I remember thinking, oh, that's hermit crabs have like shells that look just like snails. And then you begin to realize as you get older, like, no, that's a snail shell. The snail's dead and gone and eaten by a fish or whatever ate that thing. And the hermit crab was just this long, spirally bit of a body with some, you know, pinchers on the front. And they're ugly as anything. I don't know why kids seem to love these things, but I used to like them. They sees this shell drifting by. And he's like, oh, that looks better than what I got behind me, so let me just go and insert this part of me into this thing. And then they walk around and they crawl around with this shell on them that is not actually theirs. It's a borrowed body. This is almost, it's every illustration that's a spiritual reality trying to represent it naturally is failed and is flawed in some way. But it gives you some sense of the reality of what it is that's life that's now in us as believers is not our old life. It's not just the old who we were in a washed up version that comes out of a tank wet full of water and everyone applauds and thinks that was great. No, by faith, it can be so much more. By faith, it can be so much more. By faith, it can be the beginning of a brand new life, not just a better one. But it requires death, burial, and resurrection. Again, by faith, we identify with Christ on that cross. Let's read a couple more passages just to make sure that we have this solid. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's simple when you see it. But until you see it, it just seems so confusing. And I can relate. I spent much of my adult life believing I was a Christian, and it didn't really make sense until I embraced this truth called the new creation miracle, which is God's life lived out inside an old shell of who I used to be in this earth suit. Romans 6 makes it so clear. We are no longer sinners, just sinners who have been saved by grace through faith. We are saints who have been saved just by grace and faith alone. You got to get this small distinction there. We're no longer, Andy made this so clear. In fact, I'm going to ask, we have a link prepared, and we're going to make sure anyone that's going to get baptized today, and if it's one of the children, make sure as an adult parent, you sit with them and listen through this message. Andy made it so crystal clear. There is no longer two yous sharing the same space of your life. There was an old you that was crucified with Christ and now is no longer alive. Romans 6 makes it so clear. I want to read this in the Amplified version of the Bible, just to reiterate what Pastor Andy said last week. He says, we know that our old self, our human nature without the Holy Spirit, was nailed to the cross with Jesus in order that our body of sin might be done away with so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. Don't then look at your life experience and say, well, that can't be true because I tried this and nothing really... Forget your experience and embrace the truth by faith. This only works through faith. If you adjust the truth to what your experience has been, you'll miss the miracle that's available to you, where the old is gone and the new has come. Baptism celebrates this reality. It says the body of sin might be done away with. So many people walk around, oh, I'm just a sinner, same as everybody else. No, you're actually a saint now, saved by grace through faith. And if you sin, you have an advocate with the Father you can run to, and you can repent, and you can be restored back to your position. But your identity is no longer as a sinner. It is a saint who has been saved just by grace through faith. You're not just a sinner saved by grace through faith. You see, it matters where you put the just. Imagine being set free from prison, not breaking out, not escaping, not sneaking through in the food delivery truck or whatever happens in the movies. Legitimately, legally, through a mandate or a pardon, you are released. You walk through the gates, they shut behind you, and there's nobody coming after you to drag you back because you snuck out accidentally. Legally, fully released from prison. Did the right way. Either did your time or you were pardoned. Whatever happened, you are free. That is the reality of what happens in the new creation miracle. It's not a breakout. It's a full legal pardon through due process of law, because what Jesus did on the cross was enough. When he said it was finished, it was finished. 2 Corinthians, Paul says it so well in chapter 5, verse 21. He says, for he, God, the Father, made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to become sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. What an insult to that truth if we walk around saying, oh, I'm just a sinner. Saved by... No, you're a saint of the Most High God who has been saved just by grace through faith alone. Let's read it in the Amplified version. Same thing. 2 Corinthians 5:21. He made Christ, who knew no sin, to judicially. You know, you're saying it and you're reading it. You're like, no, those two things aren't lining up. Judicially, legally, be sin on our behalf, so that in him we would become the righteousness of God. That is, we would be made acceptable to God and placed in a right relationship with him by his gracious loving kindness alone. Romans 6, again, verse 18 through 19. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. And I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and sin, and of lawlessness, which leads to more lawlessness, even so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. It says we have been set free from sin, and now we're slaves of righteousness because the new nature of a righteous saint is now living within us. Many still think, I'm talking spiritually now, they think they just caught a lucky break. Life just maybe got a little better somehow, and I started going to church and made some decisions, maybe ended a bad relationship and started a better one, or maybe, you know, you just changed, you moved, you started a new job, and life just started to get better, and you think, well, thank you, Lord, my life's better now. That's great. There's nothing wrong with a better life, but I tell you, it's not as good as a new life. When you get a new life, your life will get better, but the gospel is not a better life, it's a new life. The gospel of Jesus Christ, sorry, everyone has a gospel according to their own interpretation, but the gospel of Jesus Christ that the apostles preached was a gospel of death, burial, and resurrection into a new life. Not just an improved life. But what if in your mind you still think, well, I just caught some lucky breaks and here I am, I'm having a better life. And, you know, at least I'm not in prison anymore. I kind of walked out of some of those things that once held me bound and things are going better and in your mind and heart, though, you still feel like you're just a prisoner who caught a lucky break. You're the ones that walk around saying, oh, I'm just a sinner saved by grace through faith. It's just all I am. Poor lowly me. You haven't received a life of Christ because Christ would never speak that way through your mouth. The risen Christ, he would be inside of you, living in you, and he would say those words. Oh, it says he knew no sin. But he became sin so that we would become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You've got to get the distinction because it can only come through faith, not through what you measure your experience to be or not to be. Because I can assure you, if in your mind and your heart you still feel like you're just more identified with your previous life than the new one you've been given, you need to reconsider what it is that you've believed in. And has it really been the gospel of Jesus Christ, which requires your old man to be dead, not through your own sacrifice, but through what he did on the cross, and by faith you identify with that one? But we have a choice to make. Do you understand that you still get to choose what you believe? We've been given a free will. You choose what you believe. We can choose to believe negative reports or positive reports. We can look at the spies in the Old Testament. And when Joshua and Caleb went in, out of 12 spies, there were the only two that came back with a positive report. And the whole rest of the gang, the majority, said, no, 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 we can't do this. This is too hard. This is too dangerous. We shouldn't try to do this. We're not equipped to tackle the monster that's in front of us in this promised land that God said was theirs. Which one are you going to believe? Because I was preparing for this morning, I realized, you know, it's when we don't understand the exodus from Egypt and when the Israelites were delivered out through the Red Sea, and we understand they got to the side that would lead them to the promised land, but when they're in that wilderness, the waters came back and buried and drowned. All of Pharaoh's army and all of his chariots and horses were drowned in the Red Sea, so they had no longer any chariots chasing them. No more swordsmen, no more people trying to bring them back into the prison of Egypt. But if you read along in the story and you discover some of their behavior, you realize something had happened. They saw it more of as a lucky break, as something that just happened. Maybe they were in the right place at the right time, and God just somehow made this whole thing happen. And okay, cool, we're not in slavery anymore, but they still identified as slaves. And guess what wasn't drowned in the water? The voices of the Egyptians. The voices of the taskmasters, the voices that told them, you guys are just slaves. Stop thinking you're somebody and having so many kids. You can't do that. You're just slaves. You need to stay here and be quiet and build the bricks that you're told to build. And somehow, as you watch them, they begin to revert back. And they begin to say, in their own hearts, they say, well, maybe we should just go back to Egypt. At least there we knew where our next meal was coming from. There was garlic and melons and there's these delicious foods. Somehow the deceiver and the accuser of the brethren still has access vocally to us, but he has no more chariots and swords and horses to come and actually do anything to us the way that we allow him in our minds to think he has that power. Baptism, when you are raised up into a new life, you're on the other side of deliverance. You're on the other side of sin. The old man has been killed and the new spirit of Christ now lives in you and you get to live a brand new life. Unless you don't believe it, and then you'll just have a better life. Which, good, enjoy your better life for a while. There's nothing wrong with that. Just don't confuse it with the new life that Jesus offers through the gospel that he shed his blood on that cross to offer to us. Whose report will we believe? The accuser of the brethren? Yeah, it's a long time, I know. A preacher's 15 minutes is, well, I've only been, I think, 9, so I'm still, so geez, drink your bottle and leave me alone for a minute. My goodness. We all want to go back, right? We all, whatever age we get to, we realize it was better when we were younger, but I don't think anybody wants to go back to 2 years old, right? Go back to sometime right after you found your high school sweetheart and start there. Let everything else stay in the past. Right, honey? We have a choice to make, folks. This baptism that we're going to do, some people may just get wet and put on a towel, and that's okay. Thank God they did it. But some people by faith may understand that I'm going to start a new life today. The old me, I'm going to see him on the cross with Christ, and I'm going to recognize that that body of sin has been done away with. It's finished. It's not something that's going to come back. Because I tell you what happens when someone goes to prison, they go in with a record. They're put there because usually some form of felony or worse crime has happened, and they are detained there because they now have a record, and those records are locked away and sealed, and they don't just go away. Talk to someone who's been released from prison. They go to get a job, or they file for employment, whatever it is. Financial loan, whatever, that always comes back up. Oh, we see this happened in this date. They are identified with their mistakes from the past because they did time. That's the world system. That's the systems of the world. Too many folks walk around, I think, as believers, and we still are more aware of the part of us that's supposed to be dead at the cross, and we identify with that instead of realizing, wait a minute, according to Scripture and truth and what the gospel Jesus gives me says, that guy's dead and gone. I'm no longer obliged to whatever mistakes he made. I no longer have to worry about what's going to pop up on my resume because of something in the past. That person no longer lives, but Christ is now alive in me. You see how it has to be a miracle. The new creation is a miracle. But the accuser of the brethren still has his mouthpiece left, and he can still talk to us. And if he can convince you that you're actually more connected to the old you, you'll begin to act like the old one instead of the new one. Not because he has any power over you. That body of sin's been dealt with and put on the cross. But the enemy can convince you through the words of, hey, you sure this is all new now? You sure you're really, if Christ is living in you, then why is this still happening? And then the next thing you know, if you turn from the Lord, you realize you're going right back into a trench that you were never supposed to go back to. That's just the echo of a previous life. You're now a free citizen of the kingdom of heaven. If you believe that by faith. Otherwise, you're still going to just be a prisoner of the old kingdom thinking you just got a lucky break and now you have a new address. And there might not be bars outside the windows of your house, but in your heart and in your identity and in your mind, you're still just a lowly sinner just hoping for a break. Hope I can get a break this week, you know. I'm just a sinner like everybody else. No, you're a saint of the Most High God who Jesus' blood was shed for so you could have his spirit living inside of you. I'm so glad that God's prisoner release program is not just a change of address. It's just not, you get to live on the outside now, but you got an ankle bracelet on just to make sure if you get too squirrely, I'm going to pull you. No, it is a clean release. It is a clean break. It is a clean new identity. Not just a change of an address where you're in some witness protection kind of program thing, but a literal change. Your passport picture looks different. Your identity, your name is different on your ID. Everything is brand new because it's no longer you who live, but it's Christ who lives in you by faith in the one who gave his life for you. I hope you're getting this in your spirit. I know for those of us who've grasped this and who have stepped into it by faith, for us it just reverberates as soon as we begin to preach it. But for some that you haven't just, it's just faith. Don't let it be more than faith. You just have to believe it. Don't make it about what you have to change or what you have to give up or what it's going to cost you or what it's going to look like. Just do by faith what the Bible says you have to do and let him put his life in you and then see what Jesus wants to do with your life. It'll work if you do it that way. I get so excited preaching this stuff. Listen, we're at the end here and we're going to start getting people baptized and just believing God to restart and rebirth the spiritual part of them. because that's the eternal part. We know what the world's prisoner release protocol looks like. It's a graduated, give you a little more leash, give you a little more space, give you a little more freedom, and then if you really hold on to it, okay, we'll let you go. But I want you to just hear this with me. This is God through Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross. This is his prisoner release protocol. Are you ready for it? It's Colossians chapter 2, verses 12 through 14, if you want to just keep that in your mind, but I'm going to read it. You ready? For you were, that's past tense. He's talking to believers. For you were buried with Christ when you were baptized. And with him you were raised to new life. Because you trusted the mighty power of God. That's where faith has to come in. There's a whole lot of people with a better life because they started going to church. It's better, absolutely. You can ask anyone that they know, yeah, they're doing so much better. Good. Celebrate that. Keep walking that path. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ this morning. It says that because a person trusted in the mighty power of God, too many are still trusting in their own. Well, I just started making good decisions. Good for you. Hundreds of thousands, millions of people do that on the planet every couple of months. It's a good thing. Many put their trust in a program. Okay, you're still alive. There's still hope for you. There's still the confidence that if you trust in Christ, you're going to go and be in heaven. I'm not talking about the better life. I'm talking about a brand new one, though. I'm talking about one that you have nothing to do with in anything you can do other than to believe it. It's either by faith or it's not at all. And it says it's by faith in the mighty power of God, not in the mighty power of people. And by people includes yourself if you're a people. Hermit crab just popped. Like, I was going to say, unless you're a hermit crab. But maybe that's why some of us are still crabby. I don't know. Because you trusted the mighty power of God, who raised Christ from the dead. Jesus was dead. Jesus Christ, the Messiah, there came a point in his reality where he was dead. For 3 days, buried in a tomb. He didn't survive the crucifixion. He didn't survive the sword that was shoved in his side on the cross and blood and water fell out and he's clearly dead. He didn't survive it. He didn't go into a coma. He didn't go into a... It's amazing how the conspiracies that try to discredit what Jesus did, if you really look at them, they come up so shallow when you look at the recorded events that happened that day on the cross. No person survives what Jesus went through, folks. He was dead and he was buried. And it was the power of God, the mighty power of God, that caused him to come out of that grave and back to life again. It says that he raised him from the dead. Now here's the part where we get to apply it to us. Isn't it wonderful? Many of us would have no problem saying, I believe Jesus every Easter. Yeah, I believe it. But I want to tell you something. There's way more to this life, because once Jesus lives in you, it's no longer, you know, in a land far, far away, once upon a time, long ago, in a garden, in a cemetery, rose up this man who was dead for 3 days. No. All of a sudden, that event of history becomes a reality in your heart. This is where it applies to us. God's prisoner release program. Are you ready? You were also dead because of your sins and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. You can eliminate sin from your life. Good on you. You'll have a better life. But you do not have the power to touch your sin nature. You were born with it. You didn't give it to you, and you can't take it away from you. Your nature is how you were born. You were born selfish when you didn't get your bottle or you didn't get... You acted just like the little kiddo that was here a few minutes ago until you got what you wanted. Selfishness is born in the heart of humanity. It wasn't always that way. Adam and Eve were not created that way. They were created as stewards over the Lord's creation with nothing but goodness and light within them. Sin brought darkness to their heart. Listen. You were dead because of your sins and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. But then, God, not you, not a program, not your church attendance, not a new way of thinking, not a new philosophy or a new book or a new favorite author, then God made you alive with Christ. For he forgave all our sins. He canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. You see the difference between that and just wear this bright bracelet on your anklet for a little while until we make sure you're going to do good out there on your own? That might cause you to make some better decisions, because if you don't, you're going to be in trouble. You don't want to go back. What the gospel of Jesus Christ says is there's no place to go back to. He's already dead. The record that you even carried as a dead man is still, even that is nailed to the cross through what Jesus did. There's nothing for the enemy. The accuser says, oh yeah, but do you remember this? Oh, you're thinking the same way you thought back when. I don't remember thinking any kind of way. I'm a new creation in Christ. Christ now lives in me. The old me, that record is nailed to the cross. Jesus took it there. I couldn't do it. I was dead in trespasses and sins. He did it because of his love for me. He says, he forgave me and made me alive with Christ. When Christ came out of the grave, I by faith came out of the grave. You by faith came out of the grave. Did you feel the energy of what I'm saying? That it's true. That it's true, not because I'm telling you it's true. It's true because inside the heart of the believer, when the gospel is declared in its pure form, it changes people because it is the power of God unto salvation for those who believe. Not for everyone who hears it. Not because you heard it. But for those who believe. All I'm asking you to do this morning is let's just connect our faith, our belief this morning to an event that has already happened. To a reality that's true, whether I preach it or I don't, it doesn't change the truth of what the gospel is. There is a man who took my place on the cross, who when death had its chance to hold him in the ground forever, could not keep its grip upon him because he was innocent. He became sin, but he knew no sin, so that I could become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Folks, that's the gospel of Jesus Christ, the way that I need to be reminded of it so that I maintain my identity as a saint of the Most High God. And so this morning, we're just celebrating. I know for some of you kids, maybe that just seemed like a long time to wait to get in that tank. And in your own way and in your own understanding, declare before this room full of people that you're going to follow Jesus to the best of your understanding and to the way that his spirit leads you. And that's a powerful thing. I hope maybe you didn't understand everything that I said, and someday maybe you'll understand it more. But for right now, you're acting in your measure of faith to declare before God and these witnesses that you are going to commit your lives to him. And you're believing him to raise you up out of that tank as a new person who can think new thoughts. And maybe you can even minister to moms and dads. You think God could use some of these kids to do that? I know that he can. God says some pretty profound things to me through my children. Sometimes they don't even know what they're saying. For those who have a mature understanding of what you're doing this morning, I pray that whatever we're doing, let's just do it by faith in these next few moments. For those that aren't going to get baptized, just join your hearts by faith. This is a spiritual reality. The water's physical, and it's probably not even super warm. It's probably a little bit chilly, but it's definitely going to get you wet. But what it does beyond that will be determined by what your faith is reaching out for. If your faith is reaching out for new life, Jesus said, I've come to give it. The thief comes to take it, but I've come to give it. Not just life, but life abundantly, beyond what you were going to calculate to do with the days you had on earth. He has a plan so much bigger than that. So, it's going to be a little complicated. We got certain parents that want to be in the tank. While their kids are being baptized, some, it's going to be Pastor Chris and myself in there. We're going to keep it moving. But there's several folks, and I'm going to ask you also to consider in your own heart, if this feels like the right time for you, we'll figure out a way. I mean, you can wear a towel home. I mean, with your clothes underneath it still, but, I mean, Some people got, it was a nervous laugh for some people. And other people were like, oh, that'll be funny. They're like, wait, what? How big are these towels now? There's such a joy in the presence of the Lord when you realize he's in this. The Lord enters into this with us. We can't do anything but get people wet. But when he enters into this by his Spirit, he can get people's lives rebirthed and set on a new course. And so that's what's going to happen in these next few minutes. So I'm going to just quickly get my trunks ready. Chris, if you want to jump in there. How about if we go, if you spoke to me or anyone specifically and you said you wanted to be in the tank first. You wanted to be in the tank with a specific candidate, like father with kids or friend, that sort of thing. Why don't we do those first? And then after that, Chris and I can just get busy dunking people. All right, does that make sense? For those who I talked to, that probably made sense. Okay? We're going to get it done.